Coming up on KUCB News, on Alaska's 2018 Candidates Forum is happening tonight, and Sitka is joining communities around the state in trying to reduce its use of plastic bags. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Wednesday, September 19th, 2018. Tonight is KUCB's Candidates Forum. With Unalaska's election less than 2 weeks away, we'll have your city council and school board candidates in the studio to share their platforms and answer your questions. You can pose those during the live program or send them to us in advance. We are now accepting questions by phone and email, so give us a call at 581-6700 or email us at candidates@kucb.org. The Candidates Forum starts tonight at 7 o'clock. You can listen in here on 89.7 FM, tune in on Channel 8 TV, or watch the live video feed at our public viewing in the Burma Road Chapel. The U.S. Coast Guard medevaced a man yesterday who presented stroke symptoms 90 miles southwest of Unalaska. Officials say the 48-year-old is a crew member of the DL Lavender, a 590-foot bulk carrier. Air Station Kodiak sent a Dolphin helicopter crew to hoist the man from the vessel and transport him to Unalaska's LifeMed personnel. He was later transported to Anchorage for further care. The incident marks the region's second medevac in less than a week. Last Thursday, the Coast Guard helped to rescue an injured diver near False Pass. King Cove gets nearly all of its energy from renewable sources. Today, the city is holding a dedication ceremony for its second hydro facility, which has been producing power for about a year. Weather and scheduling delayed the dedication until now, so we are resharing this 2017 story from KUCB's Zoe Sobel all about King Cove's energy projects.
Gary Hennig has been focused on renewable energy ever since his first city council meeting as King Cove City Administrator in 1989. Diesel was relatively cheap back then, but Hennig says the community got fired up when they found out hydro looked like a promising power source for King Cove. In 1994, Delta Creek came online, and pretty soon the community was getting half of its power from renewable energy.
And within a couple years of Delta Creek getting built, it was easy to look back and say, wow, we were either pretty lucky or pretty smart or a combination of both.
After seeing Delta Creek's success, Hennig says the city started looking into building a second hydro facility. Financing it was a challenge. It took more than a decade to finalize the permitting and round up nearly $7 million. In the end, the city pieced together the funds from a combination of grants, loans, and money from their own budget. Even though it was expensive, Hennig doesn't think residents will bear the burden of paying it off in the form of higher utility rates.
We believe it's quite the contrary, that they're going to end up paying less. And I would hope to be in a position in the next 6 to 12 months to be able to go to the city council with a rate decrease.
Right now, 1 kilowatt hour costs 30 cents in King Cove. It's one of the lowest rates in rural Alaska. Hydropower covers nearly all of the city's 4.5 megawatt demand, which includes 2 boat harbors, public facilities, and all homes. Overall, Hennig says the community is happy with their commitment to green power.
We've come to know that Mother Nature can be our friend and that renewable energy, at least in King Cove, Alaska, gives us confidence about survivability in the future for all things energy related.
But is it possible for other small rural communities to follow in King Cove's footsteps? For the Waterfall Creek project, King Cove got a lot less money than expected from the state. Funding for renewable energy projects has dried up. For the past two budget cycles, there have been no grants from the state's Renewable Energy Fund. But Katie Lister of the Alaska Energy Authority says King Cove made it work partly because the city has some financial advantages.
They are small, they are remote, but they do have a sort of an active cash economy in the fishing industry that kind of allows them to access other resources outside of their community that other places might not have the ability to.
Even so, Lister believes other communities can replicate King Cove's energy funding. She says King Cove has proved it's possible to pay for energy projects with more than just grants. I'm Zoe Sobel in Unalaska.
Sitka is moving forward with a new policy to reduce plastics in the environment, joining the ranks of other communities around the state. Last week, the Sitka Assembly passed on first reading an ordinance that would require retailers to charge 15 cents per plastic bag and 10 cents per paper bag. KCAW's Emily Kwong reports.
The money would go into Sitka's general fund. The hope is for less plastics in the environment. And the public show of support for a plastic bag fee was strong. 15 citizens spoke in favor, including Jennifer Carter.
If Anchorage can do this, we can do this. If Hawaii, the entire state of Hawaii, can do this, we can do this.
And Doug Osborne, chair of Sitka's Health and Human Services Commission.
Sitka grocers alone distribute 2 million plastic bags annually.
Plastic pollution on land and sea is a global problem. Advocates for the law said the fee would be an economic nudge to shoppers to bring a reusable bag when they shop. Michelle Putz leads the citizens group Bags for Change. In the past year, they've rounded up canvas bags and distributed them across town, all to set the wheels of abandoning plastic in motion.
As I've told these guys, I like to think of this as Sitka's plastic pollution solution revolution. We're starting that here and now.
And, Putz said, she has the numbers to back it up. Her group polled citizens at Sitka's three grocery stores. 70% of shoppers favored a ban or a fee. It was a mountain of data and advocacy, which persuaded the majority of assembly members. But those in dissent disputed the ordinance for economic reasons. Assemblymember Aaron Bean saw the fee as yet another tax on citizens.
I see a fee as not a very good solution to a very serious problem. If the idea is to reduce plastic bags in the community, then we need to ban them.
Assemblymember Stephen Eisenbeis said he could not support the ordinance as written because it created more accounting work for business owners. Since they're the ones upholding the fee, he argued, they should be compensated.
I think that there is a cost to the businesses, and we need to consider that as well. The other half of the money, I think, should go to the solid waste fund.
Since, he reasoned, solid waste finances the disposal of plastic bags. Eisenbeis then made a motion to rewrite the ordinance, saying the collected revenue should be split between retailers and the solid waste fund. It failed for lack of a second. Eisenbeis owns a local business, but Mayor Matthew Hunter ruled it was not a conflict of interest. The plastic bag ordinance passed as written by a vote of 4-2, with Eisenbeis and Bean voting against. Assemblymember Bob Petruski was not on the phone at the time to partake in the vote. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.
Sitka's ordinance is due for a second and final reading next week. The measure comes about a month after Unalaska passed legislation banning the local distribution of plastic bags. Starting January 1st, island retailers won't be allowed to provide customers with single-use bags at checkout, and if they do, they'll be hit with $100 fines each time. City councilors have also said they'll consider widening the ban in the future to include other plastics like disposable straws and utensils. The candidates for Alaska governor have been invited to seven debates or speaking events since the primary last month. Independent Governor Bill Walker and Democratic former U.S. Senator Mark Begich have been at all seven. Meanwhile, Republican and former state senator Mike Dunleavy has been to three. KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman has more on Dunleavy's attendance record.
On Thursday night, the Anchorage Downtown Partnership and other community organizations hosted a candidate forum. Walker, Begich, and Libertarian Billy Toyin sat at a table. There also was an empty seat, in case Dunleavy changed his mind. Partnership Marketing Director Penny Smythe says Dunleavy's campaign said they had penciled in the event well ahead of time, before saying he wouldn't come.
We certainly were looking forward to hearing from all candidates.
Dunleavy also hasn't shown up at the Alaska Municipal League's conference in Healy, the Alaska AFL-CIO's conference, and the Accelerate Alaska event in Anchorage, which was focused on growing Alaska's businesses. He has attended Chamber of Commerce events in Juneau and Anchorage, and the Southeast Conference in Ketchikan. The organizers for Accelerate Alaska, the AFL-CIO, and the Municipal League all say they received tentative confirmations from the Dunleavy campaign before he either canceled or, in the case of the AFL-CIO, didn't show up. Dunleavy's campaign says the Downtown Partnership knew well in advance that he had a scheduling conflict on Thursday and that he had never committed to attending. The campaign gave this written statement from Dunleavy. Quote, "Throughout this campaign, I've participated in nearly two dozen town halls, debates, and forums, even more public events, two dozen meetings with the press, 100 radio call-ins, and dozens more fairs, festivals, and sporting events where I heard directly from Alaskans," end quote. Dunleavy also says Walker skipped the primary and Begich skipped the last 4 years of discussion. For their part, the other candidates criticized Dunleavy. Here's Begich.
He doesn't want to answer the detailed questions that are required to explain his extreme views on how he's going to solve the budget, which I think is a challenge for him. I think his ability to talk about his positions on social issues, because he has very extreme positions there.
Walker says Dunleavy's absences were consistent with his record.
No, I'm not surprised. You know, he's not showing up a lot of things. He didn't show up at the legislative session last year. The toughest of the 4 years was last year, the fourth quarter of the game, and he wasn't there for that either. So I don't know. He seems to not show up.
The next scheduled candidate forum will be hosted by the Anchorage NAACP on Thursday. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
And a final reminder that your local 2018 Candidates Forum starts tonight at 7 o'clock. Join us here on 89.7 FM, tune in on Channel 8 TV, or watch at the Burma Road Chapel, where KUCB will host a public viewing with a live video feed. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.